those resistances were actually super helpful. I looked at it as it's all this grand design initiation to be that much more aware and discernment of what energy is coming in and what am I choosing to dance with and what am I choosing to just let it pass through me, and just being very aware of all this, like the most subtle energies.
You're listening to Catalyst Talks, conversations with change agents, outliers, superheroes, and truly conscious leaders modeling what it is to be an unstoppable force for good and truth in this world. What lit these catalysts on fire to do their work, and what nuggets of wisdom can they share with a world literally on fire? I'm your host, Stephanie Traeger. I'm a transformational catalyst and life coach to maverick change agents in business, leadership, and life. On this podcast, I wear an eclectic mix of hats, including earthkeeper, wayfinder, truth teller, coach, lawyer, business, and impact strategist. My intention is holding space for higher purpose, peak wellness, soul mastery, and deeper impact so we can live in harmony with ourselves, each other, and nature. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen. If you love it, please share and spread the word. We're on YouTube and all the podcast platforms. See the show notes on catalysttalks.com for links, and enjoy this episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Catalyst Talks podcast. Wow, I am so excited for you to receive the medicine, the juice, the nuggets, the wisdoms, the gifts, and the learnings from this conversation I'm about to have with Dr. Stephen Young. Dr. Stephen Young is, well, I want to say what I'm reading right now in his bio. He says he's a holistic coach, mind, body, spirit, with a degree in kinesiology and a master's and doctorate in physical therapy. Yet he is what I consider a wizard, an alchemist, a shaman, a healer, a transmitter of potentiality, and a futurist. And so in this conversation, we unpack what he means when he says he aims to create 1 billion immortals, and immortals with two M's is a mortal that connects to and embodies the divine powers within. They have revealed their essence, their gifts, and their purpose in life, and now they are here to inspire others to be and do greater good for humanity. He is the chief solutionite of Body Solutions and the consciousness tinkerer and chief love officer at Immortal. Stay tuned for this whole episode all the way to the end, because there is so much to unpack. And it's not really just an intellectual exercise. It's a feeling. It's a transmission, and you will feel different if you listen to the whole episode. So thank you so much for your time. And I did like to put a little plug in for our program, which is actually, we talk about this in the call today, in this session today, and that is for the Journey of Increase. You can get your copy of this journal and the actual unprogram to reprogram how you speak and how you reframe and how you conceptualize your reality and really, really call into being the world that you want to see in your own life and beyond. And that is through Journey of Increase. This is a beautiful 90-day journey and the journal that comes with it. And you can find it at journeyofincrease.com. And now for this episode with Stephen. Thank you for being here. Welcome, Stephen. Welcome to Catalyst Talks podcast. It's such an honor to have you here, and I'm excited to share your wisdom and magic with all of the millions of people who are tuning into us today. As a holistic coach, mind, body, spirit, I'd say alchemist, among, like, there's so many other words, but it's the unnameable. That's how I experience you, with a degree in kinesiology and a PhD, a doctorate. You're just so full of information, knowledge, wisdom, and magic, like multidimensional magic. And so what I want to start off with today is sort of start off from the deep end and unpack you from there.
Okay.
You are the creator of a beautiful frequency device. Correct me if I'm wrong. This is like more than a device. This is a portal, and it's called the Immortal Chamber, right? And so I think if you can start off with telling us what that is and what does it mean to be somebody who's committed to creating a billion immortals on this planet? Like, what does that mean to you, and why this chamber, and how does this work?
Yeah. So just to give everyone context, there was a 20-year period where I had my own clinic and facility where we treated, you know, almost 9,000 patients. And during sort of the second half of those 20 years, I started playing with different technologies, such as like machines that puts electromagnetic energy into your body, and certain machines that puts like red light and near infrared light. And then we started playing with like hydrogen gas, basically, from my understanding of the physiological or the chemistry of how humans function, the original intention was simply to speed up healing, right? And then we saw people's like I remember a patient's fracture healed in like 11 days instead of 8 weeks using these technologies stacked together. And so about 4.5 years ago, my business partner from Immortal came to my office. And at the time we were actually working on another product. We were working on a workstation, and he got into this like contraption I rigged up, and he felt the impact that it had on him. And he said, "Oh my God, like we need to make this into our own product." And so flash forward 4.5 years later, many, many, many prototypes later, and hundreds of thousands of dollars later, we now have this incredible device that is a combination of 7 different technologies. I seeded the first 3, and then Brian and other partners have contributed to and evolved it to what it is now. And essentially it is, in a way, a frequency device. It puts nature's energy and this restorative energy from Earth into your system through vibration, through sound, through light, and through electro frequencies. And then the premise is about sovereignty, right? Instead of some device doing something for you or taking a medication to suppress symptoms, this is about giving your system all the energy it needs so that it can select the energy that it needs in that moment for it to restore itself, basically. Mm-hmm. Right? So we're just giving the human system, and I use a system to encompass mind, body, and spirit. So we give the entire system the energy it needs for it to restore itself. And so, yeah, we've seen pretty incredible results of people coming out of it. It's actually, so it's, you know, here in Austin, I've been putting people through it. When the door opens from the Airstream, it's in the Airstream trailer. To me, it's like opening a Christmas present each time, because I'm like, wonder what that person's experiencing. And I've been able to have some incredible conversations. So,
wow. So when I first was connected with you, it was because I said to our mutual friend, Joe, I had mentioned that my passion, my mission is to, you know, bridge ancient wisdom with our future human potential. And then in this middle where we are right now are all the creations, the technologies, the possibilities. And, you know, what does ethics in that place look like? I call it ethics and innovation. And so you're sitting in that like fulcrum, right? And you're using all of the possible technologies for the best possible outcomes. And so what are some of the questions you've had to ask yourselves in this creation around, like, you know, have you had a process around, you know, what could be the unintended consequences of this or that? Like, where are you sitting in that frame? That's what my understanding that this beautiful offering is, right? It's bridging that ancient.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I've realized that even though I am good at seeing patterns, really out of the need for safety, the reason I incarnated into this lifetime really is bridging, right? Old and new, East and West, heaven and earth, in and out. And so as I reflected back, so many of my creations and ideas and businesses involve kind of bridging things. And so the chamber really is a bridge in itself, where we have new technology such as red and near infrared lights, right? That's sort of newer technology. The older technology really is electrofrequencies, basically, and we can define old many ways. The recent old is based on Tesla's work, which is, we can kind of say, semi-old. But really, it's the frequencies of Earth, which is obviously very ancient, coming into the system. And that's from the very, very tech side way of looking at old and new. And then, as strange as it sounds, you know, especially here in Austin, I can sort of use this language where we infuse spirit in with technology, right? And so now we're looking at, we can call it shamanism, we can call it alchemy, we can call it prayer, we can call it focused intentions, but we basically essentially made the machine conscious in a way. And so for those of you that are listening that are familiar with like Akashic records, you can do like Akashic records on buildings and objects, because actually with enough attention and intention, it literally becomes conscious. And so again, as strange as it sounds, the chamber does have its own sort of consciousness in a way. And last week, someone was in it who can talk to spirits and all the things. She was able to have a whole conversation with the chamber. And in fact, the chamber told her to tell me that I have a new spirit animal, which is a giraffe. And literally the next day I drove by like these 3 giant giraffes in the neighborhood. So it's quite interesting.
There were giraffes in Austin, Texas?
Like they're not real giraffes. They're just...
Okay.
blow up. There was like three, like 8, 12 feet tall giraffes just like on someone's lawn. So, you know, I'm staying at a friend's house and I usually take the same way, but the GPS took me this different way. And there were these giraffes. So
interesting. So much in there, the GPS, that's a whole other portal. But what is so fascinating to me is where I want to dive in is actually how you came into this. Okay. So like, there's so much about the immortal chamber. So we're going to come back to that, but how you came into this. So you come from this linear physiology background, right? And science. And at what point were you like, okay, we need more than this? Was that just part of your practice from the beginning?
Yeah, no, great question. So many layers to this. I really started studying like how humans function. I was 14, just from, you know, I was sick of being sick myself. And that really got me into like studying how the mind works, subconscious. And at age 16, someone gave me the Bhagavad Gita. That was I would call it my first like intellectual understanding of spirituality. Mm-hmm. And so flash forward, in my, you know, mid-20s to like mid-30s, you know, I was practicing, I mean, really the doctors in physical therapy, working on patients. And about halfway through my first awakening of like our current system of restoring humans and healing and medicine isn't working well. Because at the time, my wife was diagnosed with ulcerative colitis, was hospitalized, like almost died, lost 20% of her body weight within a week, was only getting her nutrition from an IV drip because she couldn't ingest any food or water. So it was a pretty severe case. And then the doctor's plans were to basically put her on massive doses of prednisone, which is like a steroid that decreases inflammation, and basically to take two drugs for the rest of her life. And with what I knew at that moment, I just knew obviously that was not the path to go. And so I kind of first awakening of, wow, our system, because I've never needed to be in the system. Like I've gone to the doctors twice in my life. So I've never needed to be in the system. So when we went into the system, I was like, oh my God, there's something just not working. And so that was like the first sort of check of like, okay, I should do something about this. And about 5 years later, and the good news is we didn't opt in for the traditional system. She was basically cured in 6 weeks using out of the box ways. 5 years later was when I was working with someone and I'm in my office in New Jersey. I go upstairs to get a massage. She's actually here in Texas and texted me like a minute after I finished the massage and said, how was your massage? And of course, my response was, you know, how do you know I just got a massage? And the text back really was like my first undeniable experience of like, there's something else going on. Her response was, your soul told me. Since then, I've really looked into sort of the esoteric, unmeasurable, let's just say we currently don't have the technology to measure yet aspect of sciences. So
do you still work at that kind of physiological level, or is your work today, you know, I know that you have more space in you do a lot of different things too. It's like, I'm like, how do I prepare for this? What is he doing? Where is he? What is this doing? You know, right. So and I know that we spend time like bushwhacking in the mountains. Yeah. So that's where, you know, we really deeply connected. So I'm really curious what you bounce around to a lot of different cool projects right now, and you're holding a lot of different spaces. And so what is the grounded part of you, and then how are you interacting in all of these different places?
Yeah. From studying and looking at and working with people through that sort of physiological lens, like the chemistry, and also from the mechanical side, which is sort of that physical therapy aspect. And now, of course, recently from the, we'll call it energetic/spiritual/vibration side, at any moment, I can kind of like put on these different hats and kind of see through those lenses. While I can do that right now, what reveals the joy that's in me the most is really looking at it from that energetic frequency, spiritual side. And really just because it's newer for me, right? I've done the physiological and the mechanical for like 20 years. So I'm like, kind of seen a lot there. And so now the exploratory aspect of that frequency, energetic, spiritual side is just, you know, really exciting for me. But at any time, like, you know, I was just in Osara launching this mastermind called Frequency, which is literally like my life's work right now. And someone had some mechanical issues with their hip and they were having some shoulders. So I like put on the mechanical hat and told them what I see and put on my biological, physiological hat and recommended certain supplements to help. So while I can do that, the discussion of their relationship to their feminine and how they don't feel stable in that side that led in that energy led to that physical symptom, that was the exciting part of the conversation. So
once we're playing in this field, once we are aware beyond just knowledge, but know that have that gnosis ingrained that, okay, this is how the universe works.
Yeah.
I was listening to someone yesterday say the universe, right? Once, have you heard that?
I love that. No, so good.
I'm like, it's so true. And lately, yeah. So once you're playing in that space, mm-hmm. when you step out of the rules of engagement, but like, that's kind of what they are, right? When you step out of, okay, this is not part-time. It's all the time. What you put out in no matter what it is, it's boomeranging back.
Yes.
And I've experienced that recently a lot. And so I'm like, wow, man, I've been on this journey for like 30 years playing with frequencies and energies. And I, you know, like knowing in my being and living that soul life. And then also having this sort of other side where it's just a lot of times like this, right? And I had this experience yesterday. I want you to speak to this because I'm curious if you experience situations like this. Maybe it's less and less. Though I was driving by this big area that was clear cut, completely clear cut near my house, this beautiful forest, that huge, like 10 square miles, clear cut. I've noticed the grief that it would bring up in me as I would drive by it. And so I pull in, I find out what it is. And I was kind of enraged for a few days and like watching this come out in various ways. And then like the next day I got a ticket and I was like yelling at the cop, like, this is not illegal. That is illegal. And it was a completely different area of town. Right. And so I was just watching myself and how quickly the inverse, you know, the U inverse is totally on. Right. And so, you know, the impeccability required once you're walking in this way, and it's not just required, like it's a job, it's fun. It's like, why not live that way? It's the best way ever. So do you ever find yourself jumping dimensions in that respect? What does that look like for you?
Yeah. First, I just want to say, especially in the last year, maybe like a year and 4 months, I find that living in that impeccable integrity, fully aligned vibration is even more like important now. I feel like any deviation from sort of your true frequency, I'll call it, really gets magnified in our external world, which then reflects back as what I just call resistance. Like something happens that we're like, oh, you know, we don't want this. Very interesting that just in the last year and a half in that range, I feel like, again, anything out of alignment shows up more. So I feel like for me in the last year and a half, I've had a much deeper awareness of my own true frequency and making sure that I express it. Because I've seen so many big, very intense moments in my life in the last year. And as I reflected on why that is showing up, it's because there were definitely moments where I was expressing out of my true frequency, right? I wasn't really broadcasting what I was really vibrating and feeling inside, which led to these life experiences. And it wasn't real time either. It was like, wow, I can tell I put out this frequency that wasn't 100% true. And like 6 months later, like something happened. It wasn't like, oh, the day before, right? It was very interesting as I reflected and connected the dots.
So in your research and your journeys and your missions, maybe you want to share a little bit about those missions that you go on to various important activated places. I'm curious if, like you had talked about Egypt and some of the really beautiful callings, should we say missions? Mm-hmm. And I'm curious if, like when you're saying yes, as you're saying yes, because I think this is where I witness the resistance sometimes for myself and for others as well. It's like when you're really called to that integrity, that place of super alignment and saying, yes, something's calling you that go on that mission, create it. And it seems like you attract the people that come with you, right? So how did that manifest? People from your sort of former work? Was it really gradual that they said they stepped into your current work now? Was there like a, you know what I'm saying? Like, have you ever had any kind of as you were shifting, right? Because I think that's where a lot of people are right now. It's like, they're scared to let go of the old. Cause like, how are people going to come with me into the new? And how you handle
that? Yeah, definitely in the last 2 years, I feel like the shifting, or I'll say the evolution of our mind, body, and spirit is accelerating. And, you know, a lot of people ask me a question along the lines of like, hey, as you're sort of evolving, you know, who you are, how do you navigate, like, let's say, friends or people in your tribe that just are on a different, in their own journey, right? And then it causes sort of this, like the coherence and the connection, like, starts to dwindle. Like, how do you handle that? And my response is, I feel like it just kind of naturally happens. I don't have to handle anything. I feel like as I've sort of navigated this evolution process, just new people come into the life where after meeting them for like sometimes an hour, it feels like you've known them like your whole life. Right. And so I think it's just this natural like resonance that happens where as our frequency is shifting, we just naturally attract and bond with these, you know, people of similar frequency deeply and quickly. And then whereas the people that aren't resonating anymore just kind of naturally, you know, drift apart. Yeah. And to me, it's happening like without effort and without definitely my guidance and definitely no control, of course. So there's that. And then as far as the events and experiences, yeah, definitely Egypt, you know, was the sort of first main mission. And it was of all the missions, the most aligned in a way. It was like this really mystical thing that happened, you know, when I was 16, I had this vision of like, you know, being inside the king's chamber, but not in today's time, because there were colors and all the hieroglyphics and all the things. And then like sharing that story 30 years later to someone, and some stranger's like, oh, I can pull this trip off for you. And I was like, oh, amazing. And then like not knowing why we were going to go into king's chamber, we knew it was going to happen that year. And then this download just came, okay, we're going to send love into the collective consciousness. And once I got the download, I just made a little selfie video and said, hey, you know, this happened when I was 16. This was the recent download. Is your soul calling to be on this mission? Not do you want to come, which is a very different frame, right? Do you have an inner knowing that you're meant to be a part of this? And then I literally had a list of my left brain people to invite. And I literally muscle tested each person to make sure that essentially they were called to come. And then I sent out the invites. And I think because of that entire process coming from this like spiritual alignment only, like 90% of the people said yes within a week, which never happens. I've done tons of, you know, retreats and things, maybe 20% of the people say yes. This was 90%, which was, yeah, never happens. And so that was Egypt. And then the next mission was Peru, about harmonizing masculine and feminine. And what's interesting is this wasn't as much as like complete divine intervention. There was like, okay, left brain, we're going to do, because we started harmonizing masculine and feminine in Egypt. And I knew there was like a way to kind of finish sort of that process basically. And so it was a bit more left brain. While I did muscle test everyone, I know there was a little bit more of a, we need to do this energy, right? Versus, wow, this is happening. And that had like the usual 20% of people said yes. And then recently there was a calling to do like this Atlantis mission trip. And that, when it was conceptualized, was during a time where I was navigating a bunch of things. And so there was even less of like this divine calling. It was more like left brain. Okay, this needs to be done by these days, very left brain. And like literally no one said yes on the original dates. And so it's a very interesting lesson for me to really pay attention to what's the energy and frequency in which these missions or these experiences are being birthed, and really sticking to that non-left brain, purely like divine driven process. So
beautiful. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that process in detail, because it's a big one for those who are really called to follow their soul and follow and be so in that impeccable alignment, and the resistance. Let's just speak about some of those resistance pieces, because that's a big energy that we get to really dismantle right now in this conversation and transmit it to everyone in the world everywhere. Yeah. Period. It's complete now. Thank you. So what are some of the resistances that would come up for you? I mean, I hear you say, you know, sort of distinguishing between left brain and following the soul, What are some of those left brain pieces?
Yeah. You know, and just to give people context. So last year in September, there was an event that was planned with this other group. And then basically, I think 11 days before this trip was meant to start, the other group kind of canceled, backed out. And it led to this massive financial issue. Basically, they left and said, we're not responsible for anything. And I was responsible for all the cancellation fees and, you know, lots of dollars, you know, sort of financially that was put out, and there was no way to kind of get it back. And I think because that was in September, and now like that event from that happening sort of got me into that, like, I got to make sure that that doesn't happen in the future. And so there's a little bit of like a prevent, you know, even slight fear energy that got into. And so I think those energies that came into my field and I didn't fully sort of let go influence, like definitely the Atlantis, there was definitely an energy of like, I got to make sure the numbers work. Whereas in the past it was like, it's just going to happen. I don't really care about the numbers, but I had to make sure the numbers work because I was like, I can't have what happened last September happen again. And again, that's a very different energy than just like follow divine guidance, right? So that was definitely a resistance. And the second resistance for me personally was really that experience in September led to like disappointments, right? Like people who really wanted to go was like, oh, it's canceled and all the things. So again, that energy came into my awareness, like, oh my God, I have to make sure I don't like disappoint people in some of these missions. And again, not an energy that was there in Egypt and that wasn't there for the Peru mission. And so it's just very interesting how these specific experiences, I noticed like these energies came into me that influenced, right? That frequency got into some of the other experiences, you know, that I'm planning. And so, yeah, those resistances were actually super helpful. I looked at it as it's all this grand design initiation to be that much more aware and discernment of what energy is coming in and what am I choosing to dance with and what am I choosing to just let it pass through me, and just being very aware of all this, like the most subtle energies.
Yeah, that's what I really admire about your energy in person, like being in presence with you. When we went on a hike and we were got lost and I was like, oh, he's going to think this and that. And it's really beautiful when you are when you're in presence with somebody who we all know it's all divine. It's all synchronized already. Like this whole thing's a simulation. So like, how do we want to play our part right now? And how quickly, like when I say boomerang before, I was like, the energy just boomerang back, right? Or just even the observation of, ooh, like, where am I out of integrity in this now moment? What's those thoughts? Like how fast they can help us course correct at the moment. Yeah. So in all of that we're talking about, I'm assuming when you talk about creating a billion immortals, I'm assuming having these they're not even superpowers. They're just activating our natural state, right? How do you define immortals and tell us more about that mission?
Yeah. So to give people context, the name of the company, Immortal with two M's, Ammortal. So we were very careful how we seeded the name of the company. And so mortal, right, it's mankind. And immortal with one M is a real word. If you look it up, the definition is it's a being that has always existed and that will always exist. So potential name, another name for that would be source, God, universe, divine. And so we have two M's to suggest that the divine being and mortal man is one, right? That's really the essence of the company name. And so to make a billion immortals would also be like saying to help a billion humans remember that they're absolutely divine beings as well, right? They're 100% divine being and 100% human. And they get to live from that frequency, not 50-50, but 100-100. That's really our mission, is to provide technologies and really broadly what I call containers of teachings, right? So they're, instead of telling people exactly what to do, we put them in a room and let them explore themselves in their own sovereignty. And in that exploration, without like a teacher or guru or specific direction, they have the sovereignty to kind of navigate life their own way, but yet it you know, supports their remembrance that they're divine beings.
Beautiful. So how do those who are claiming and remembering their sovereign immortal selves, how do you see the interaction with the masses of the world that aren't remembering yet, you know, in playing in the matrix, in navigating those things that are at this moment in time questioning our sovereignty?
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, just in the last year and a half, I had this reflection because I used to think in this very black and white in and out concept, like in the matrix or out of the matrix, like, I'm now out of the matrix and you're in the matrix. And what I realized is that we're, you know, it's a law of polarity. They're really not opposites. They're just contrasts, right? And so from that perspective, in a way, now my thought process is no one's ever fully in or out. It's just gradients of awareness of yourself and gradients of awareness of your surroundings and gradients of awareness of really the direct connection. There's no separation between God, source, universe, and ourselves. And so really just gradients of experience and understanding. So I've learned to sort of, you know, apply that sort of very, you know, yin and yang swirling versus a straight line in the middle, you know, black and white context. And so within that context, I believe that as we're, and just, you know, I don't believe that there's a checkbox. We go, yep, now you're an immortal, right? Just like that, I'm sure we both agree on this. There's no checkbox. Now I'm spiritual, or now I'm awake, or now I'm whatever, like fully healed. That doesn't exist. It's an infinite game. And so really from that context is people who are maybe just, you know, they have more attention and time placed on this inner awareness. My intention is for those people who are interacting with others who just started this, right? They're still sort of, you know, programming. Maybe they're watching lots of television and just, you know, not aware that there's something else going on within them, that the people who are aware are really relating to those with compassion. And they realize that that person that may not be as aware is still just a reflection of them, right? And it gives them appreciation. And ultimately, everything is just a mirror and their own awareness of, okay, so I see the road that I've been on and I started there. And now I get to continue and appreciate the road that I'm going to continue. And so there's no judgment of like, oh, you're in the matrix still and I'm out. That's definitely not the context and the mindset that we want people to have.
Thank you for that course correct. And so when I actually said it, and it's so fun to be reflected, I was thinking about the airport. You know, the airport is like the ultimate, especially in the last few years, maybe not as much today, right? Yeah. So navigating that landscape in, as Dr. Stephen Young, what does that look like?
So I'm assuming you're referring to like with masks and all the things at the airport.
Wherever there are rules that, you know, as a sovereign being that don't really make sense or could preclude a certain result. Yeah. What's your MO?
Yeah. So, you know, I'm a huge fan of one of holding, right? 100%. So on one hand, I'm like, you know, you're the boss of you. I always tell people like, I'm not the boss of you. Like you're a sovereign being, you know, I'm not going to tell you what to do. And yet 100%, like I'm a sovereign being. And so, you know, when I'm at the airport and let's say there are rules and, you know, during the pandemic, of course, there were like times where like you have to wear your mask on a plane, for example. And, you know, and without getting into the very controversial, like mask or no mask, right. I chose not to. And so, I basically was able to just not wear a mask and not be bothered because I believe that I manifest my own reality. And in fact, I kind of share this with a few people and they're like, wait, how's that possible? I'm like, you just believe that they're not going to say anything. And that's what happens. And so I've had people, of course, apply that same like law of mentalism, right? We literally manifest our thoughts. Yeah. And so, I just almost like stay in my own reality and yet honor others in their reality, but just like stay in my reality and just know that the more that I can refine my reality, of course, that projects out into the universe. So that's sort of how I navigate the airport.
Fun. Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah. Yeah. And it's the higher order, right? It's like the divine order. When you're really in alignment and flow in the divine order, your truth, whatever the truth for anyone, your truth is going to reflect you in verse. Love that. So take a scenario that is somewhat tragic in the world, you know, as leaders out there who are holding space for all different, like say someone's leading a company with hundreds of people or thousands of people, right? Just one example. And something really horrible happens, some kind of tragic accident happens or intentional accident, whatever it is, like something tragic happens, right? And you're fully owning, again, this is where we can't, it's not like part-time, this is full-time, right? It's like, okay, legit, there's a physical manifestation of something we need to place our attention on. There's the emotional reverb. And then there's also the energetics, right? So how do you look at that, right? Like when there's so much tragedy, how do you, like we have compassion and all of those pieces of empathy that are critical, but from you, from all of the way you navigate, how do you hold like catastrophe and or traumatic trauma, tragic scenarios?
Yeah, I think anything that happens, whether it be like mass tragedy or even single person tragedy in front of me, my way of navigating that in really all experiences is like, just give yourself space to notice like what's coming up, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how are you, you know, reacting or responding to that situation? Because I think allowing whatever to come up is the gift for us, right? And so whatever that feeling or thought or response is or somatic sensations are, just kind of really pay attention to those with like the most subtle awareness, because I feel like those are the keys, the mirrors of like who we are. And then, you know, sometimes in a moment, I used to do this. I used to like notice those things and be processing it in the moment, which means I'm not being empathetic towards actually the thing that I'm observing. So now what I've learned is you notice the awareness and you table it. You don't process in that moment. You do want to tune into the situation, whether it be a person or thousands of people or 100,000 of people, and really, you know, view that with empathy and understanding. And then when that situation is done, like you go back and you process. Because I used to, you know, people would tell me like, yes, I will allow that feeling to happen. But really, right after that, I'm basically in my self-processing. The meaning-making machine gets turned on. Mm-hmm. And so now I've learned to kind of delay that until later. So that's sort of how I navigate. And after that, of course, I always come back to, you know, law of correspondence, law of mentalism, which is got it. So even though this is tragic, of course, an aspect of me really is actually manifesting this, right? So what is the, you know, what's there? You know, why am I being shown this basically? And that's sort of that processing part from an alchemical, you know, divine law perspective.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love how the words you chose to express that, because sometimes those sensitive moments are, you see that and you get it. And if someone's not really like lodged in emotion and don't necessarily have that lens or that worldview so fully activated and turned on, it's a little jarring sometimes to say, okay, so what are the energetics going on here? Or how is this a part of you? And so, you know what I mean? Like how do you sort of navigate that?
Yeah. I sometimes forget. I mean, I've just been practicing that for so long, so I can like quickly just got it, feel it. Let me get into what's the divine and all that stuff. And, you know, feedback from friends is like, that's, I can kind of come across like I don't care, right? Because I'm not,
yes,
I'm not in it. I'm like now observing it as the observer. Yeah. So I've learned that maybe it's sometimes helpful to just be in it and be with the people, right? And relate and have that intimacy and connection, and then step out and be the observer in stillness and sort of navigate that. So, but later.
That was beautiful. Yeah. Nice. What are your plans right now with the Immortal Chamber? So there's, tell us about the mission and all the various ways that you are.
Yeah. So the grand vision of Immortal is to, you know, use sort of these ancient wisdoms and new technology to create these containers of teachings, these technologies that essentially gives people sovereignty over their mental, physical, and spiritual evolution. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And also the message that we're broadcasting to everyone is to almost help them remember or reprogram the program that we've been taught from every marketing message, which is you're not there yet and you're not good enough yet. That's every marketing message, right? Mm-hmm. It's how they sell you the thing. Be like, you're not here, so you need to buy this thing to get here. Everything's very transactional and conditional. You know, get X to achieve Y, or get X to feel Y. And really, our vibration that we're broadcasting, like the frequency, besides divine and man, is you're divinely perfect the way you are. And there's actually no carrot, but it doesn't mean that you passively sit and do nothing in life. You are doing all the things, but not from a place of chasing and filling the gap. You're taking the same actions from this place of like complete self-expression of who you are, right? In direct alignment. And so that's sort of the high level vision, sort of mission of Immortal. And of course, we've created certain things that we feel will give people sort of that state and that remembrance, and the chamber being one of them. And really, the chamber right now is in an Airstream. It's in Austin right now. Then it goes to like Kentucky, Arkansas, Boston, Denver. And the reason we're doing this, of course, is we're selling the chambers to these key places. I was sort of given this image of like, we're literally planting seeds. Like, where each chamber that gets purchased in each location is a seed that gets planted, and it blossoms, and it helps spread this vision and this vibration into that community. Now, I had this realization about 4 days into getting people in and out of the chamber here last week, because I always knew like per person, it was going to be profound for them. And sure enough, each person that came out, everyone had this sense of like deep inner peace and presence, but yet alert and connected, everyone. It ranged from there to like more profound than any spiritual or psychedelic experience of their lives. Very interesting. But I had this awareness after, you know, putting like 50 people through, I was like, oh my God, if each day 50 or 100 people in the community go in the chamber and they're living that day or a few days from that place of presence and inner peace, the effect of that isn't just on the 50 people. It's huge. There's a resonance, right? That happens. Like having 50 people pray on the same intention at the same time is more powerful than one person. And so there's this incredible, like, I underestimated the impact that the chamber will have. I became aware of that last week. And so in the chamber really is just one piece of the puzzle. We have an app that we're developing, and, you know, on the surface, it's a health and wellness app, but really when you get into it and you navigate like your gut health and, you know, detoxing and all the things, it really, the experience of it, the language, the images are designed to help people remember they're divinely perfect and their whole and deeper spiritual wisdoms are embedded into the app. And then the last thing is the workstation we're going to develop, which is basically we designed something where while you're working on the computer, you're actually becoming more healthy instead of, it's so unhealthy, you got to get away from it every 45 minutes and stretch and walk. So we designed something that completely switches the paradigm. And so just from those three products, and we have others, our goal is to change the physical environment, workspace, the mental environment, which is like the app space, and then your energetic environment, which is the chamber, and changing those environments to give people their sovereignty, like to help them remember their divine essence and their sovereignty. So that's really the strategy of Immortal. And we have some other technologies that we're launching, like a Tesla coil that puts like Earth's healing energy into every biological living thing within 88 feet of it. So again, going back to the frequency, it's almost like leveraging old technology to restore Earth's energy into humans, because, you know, we're not living outside anymore. We're in boxes. Put nature's energy back into our system.
This is amazing. And I've been working with frequency devices and technologies for a while, and it's such a hidden, well, it's not anymore. You're helping to unhide it though. Yeah. For so long, there's like this whole, not even an alternative, just is, you know, and the isness of it has been sort of under the surface for so long. And, yeah, I love that you're making it so tangible for many people. And I'm also curious, I think you alluded to this earlier, though. I was just totally feeling that the energy while you were talking about the chamber is that the intelligence of it has its own intelligence, you said before. And so with each person that goes in, is it like collecting AI? Is it collecting data? Or is it just really energetically encompassing like the biofeedback, obviously, but is it also entrainment?
Got it. Yeah, no, the chamber, what I found is that it will meet the person where they're at. Mm-hmm. Right? And essentially, it's not, there's so many technologies that essentially is designed to go into your system and do stuff.
Yeah.
essentially. The chamber wasn't designed to have things go into your system to do stuff. It really is enveloping you into its own energy, and your sovereign consciousness does the thing, right? Yeah. The chamber, that's one way to look at it. There's no direct program that says, you know, go in and make a left, do this and take this out and shift this and cancel that out and enhance this. It's just, you're in this, and literally people will say they felt like they were in the music because it was a song. And it wasn't like listening to music or feeling the music. They said they felt like they were in the music. And that's essentially sums up the way we approach the chamber, is again, to put nature's energy and just enveloping you in it. And in that energy, like your system will know what to do. And so that's really all that it's doing. We don't have like a data collection, you know, wearable or something that's kind of like, you know, feedback loop working. I will say though, however, most likely within 6 months, we're going to license another company's technology where it's actually pretty cool. You talk into their app and their interface, and then they have their own sound bed right now where it vibrates your own vibration back into you. It's like this profound restorative effect. And so I'm sure in the future there'll be a program that we'll have where you can like speak to the chamber, and literally you'll be in your own sound field versus a track that we have. So yeah, I think that's going to be exceptional.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that sounds exceptional. I was listening to someone once speak about how our sounds, like we could be, our sound is our own healing frequency. That's what we're talking about. And so that sometimes the octave or some kind of frequency could be missing or need some fine tuning. And because of that, because it's something, I don't know if I'm using the right words, but because of some distortion or energetic misalignment with our own voice, that could also be causing or contributing to chronic issues or situations that are often our bodies. Like, so yeah, speak to that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's some emergent research showing that our own voice, sound from our own voice, actually affects our genetics. And so it makes sense once it's almost like before I read that, I had no awareness, but once I read, I was like, of course, you know, we're a bunch of vibrating molecules. And then of course our sound, you know, from a voice makes vibrations, which then of course affects the vibration. And so, yeah, I mean, I really think, again, like frequency technologies are the future. And frequency medicine or frequency healing has been around for a long time. And in fact, it was a very popular form of medicine. And there were schools that taught it and doctors that did it, you know, about 100 years ago. But then when the Flexner report came out, it basically shut down, to try to shut down frequency medicine, homeopathy, anything outside of like, you know, Western, what we experience as Western medicine. It was really, back then it was based on Germany's model. But yeah, it's just really interesting that what we call alternative was actually foundational 100 years ago, and something happened to kind of wipe it out. And so just, you know, good history for people to be aware of what's happening. And it helps recontextualize things, right? Because when you call it alternative versus no, this is foundational, it has a very different impact on our system.
Yeah. So what about this report for folks who don't know about it, the Flexner report?
Yeah. I highly recommend everyone just like, it's right on Wikipedia. This is not like hidden information. Flexner, F-L-E-X-N-O-R. Super short summary of it is about 100 years ago, Carnegie hired this person, Flexner. And the intention that they said to the PR, to the world was, to America was, we're going to standardize medicine. And so this person with like a bachelor's degree, not in medicine at all, went to the medical colleges and all around and basically put out this report that says, hey, we need to unify how medicine is practiced. And instantly, two-thirds of medical schools were shut down, and only one-third were allowed to continue to teach. And it was all based on, again, sort of the European system. And it basically wiped out, you know, most of the non-pharmaceutical methods of medicine. Mm-hmm. And so that's sort of, you'll see that on Wikipedia, all the things and the impact on, I mean, there were like no African-American colleges, like some other racial things were happening, of course, you know, 100 years ago. From there, you can get deeper into the rabbit hole of like, why did this happen? Who profited and all the things that I will leave up for each listener to kind of discern. But the you know, without giving it a story, that was what happened. He was funded, and then these colleges got shut down, and so on and so forth.
Yeah. So where we're sitting right now, this next like jump off into these foundational modalities and these foundational devices and the opportunities are growing and growing to access this true wisdom. Where do you see, like, is it just because of the awareness and rising consciousness on the planet that just is, right? Do you see that there's any manipulation potentially possible from another report? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, what kind of interferences do you anticipate and how do we navigate? I think we already answered that. So.
Yeah. Well, the question. First, you know, interesting. I was just in Nosara this weekend launching this new mastermind called Frequency, and manipulation came up a lot. And I clarified, you know, what one person calls manipulation, another person just calls influence, right? And it's just, it's all influence, just that when one person disagrees with why, you know, this other group or person is influencing someone else that way, then the person would call it manipulation. Mm-hmm. That's like an important context to hold. Once we have that context, now the question really is, are there other parties that want to potentially suppress frequency medicine? And the answer, of course, right? Because frequency technology can and is more powerful than some of the biological approaches. And what that just simply means is that the biological companies who, you know, especially the public ones who have a public duty to earn more and more money, who has a board that they have to answer to and all the things, the system, the industrial complex system is built, they're not going to be like, yeah, we're just going to shut down and let that company flourish. In their mind, they're not being evil. I don't believe like, we're going to continue to drug people. They're just in the system of like, of this machine that needs to churn out money, and it's churning out money based on their current approach, which could be some type of biological approach. Right. And so I kind of understand, I no longer see it as like, oh, they just want to stop it just because.
Yeah.
They're just caught in that system of like, we got to churn out more money, and then this hurts our money. So therefore we got to do something to push the competition away. Right. And so absolutely that's going to happen. However, I believe that we've made enough progress in the science of frequency, and there's enough people now who are being much more open-minded, right? Because the law of polarity, when the media in the industrial complex wants to control and constrict and hold people down, the opposite will happen, which is the people will rise and open and expand, right? Just the law of polarity. And so I think most people can agree that there's been media that wants to control, and their message is for your own protection. Well, protection is a form of contraction, right? And so just because that happened in the last couple of years, there's so many more people who are like now expanding, and that expansion phase opens their awareness and their consciousness into new possibilities. And so this is where it's a great time in human history where I think these innovations are going to come online, and the masses are much more open to it now than before.
And it's accessible, right? Because it's not regulated in a sense. I mean, there are some devices out there that if they want to be, you know, classified, you know, categorized as medical devices, there might be some regulation, but do you see any sort of regulation possible? I think I'll also bring in what you said before about creating your own reality on the airplane, right? It's like, no, like the more we hold to the true intention and power of this medicine, this energy, this foundational reality, then we are creating our new reality this way, right?
Yeah. I just have this knowing, like, now I just watched something recently that says there's like, I think something will happen, or I believe something will happen, or you just, it's deeper than knowing. Like, I wouldn't say like, I believe this is my right hand. Like, this is my right hand. And so with that type of vibration, it's like, you know, frequency medicine is going to come.
Yes.
It's going to shift everything. It just is.
It just is. And so love that, because there's a lot of, again, well, this could be presencing the polarity though, the way that like the metaverse, you know, for a long time I was seeing videos of people and even AI, you know, like we're going in that direction, whatever, that's a whole other conversation. But there's like the way people are speaking about things is like, you know, it just is like the metaverse is happening. It just is. There's nothing you can do about it. And well, it's like, well, you know, that is an isness from over there. And if you don't agree with it, if I don't agree with that, I might create my own reality. And so where do you see, like, for folks who don't have that sovereignty, that's why that the importance in really empowering our sovereignty, that's where that comes in, right? Because for so many people, it's just not there. And they say, yes, oh, it's just going there. Okay. We're in that moment of the more we create over here that, or wherever that is a better option, right? And that again is better. It's, you know, every word is on trial here, but you know.
Yeah. So is the question, how do we support, or what message is for people who are sort of navigating this, who don't realize they have this incredible sovereign ability to simply believe and make it happen? Is that the question? Like, what do we?
I think it's more of the choice, right? The folks who are saying, oh, okay, to a message of one track, right? Mm-hmm. Which is a little bit more, let's just say, influences in a direction that might have less awareness of unintended consequences in the future. Yeah. Right. Yeah. And that, like, how to continue to, like, say, no, there's this choice over here without creating ripples of negativity or of judgment.
Got it. Yeah. I would say first and foremost, one of my favorite practices on a regular basis is question the context, right? Mm-hmm. Like, there's so many paradigms and contexts that are essentially programmed into us that we just assume is reality. Mm-hmm. And so it's like a fish that's been in water that's never been out of water. So it doesn't have a concept of water. Yeah. And so I think daily practice is like pull that fish out. So it's aware, oh, it's in water, and maybe you can choose another bowl or another water. And so first and foremost, I think just for everyone, just question the context, you know, that you're in. And my tip in terms of having awareness of what is the context, I think the mechanism of that is, you know, pay attention to your words, right? Because the words create the sentences, which create the meaning, which creates the context. So start to really observe what are the common words that are coming out of people's mouths. Mm. And so that will give clarity on what's the context, and then question that context and create and construct new words and new context. That first and foremost. And the second is do all of that and experience what you're experiencing. Again, it goes back to from this place of like wholeness, or it's exactly what it's meant to be right now, instead of a problem solution or broken fixing polarity. It's almost like, okay, it's divinely perfect the way it is. I'm just helping it evolve how it wants to evolve, right? So you're taking in action, they always say you're taking action from almost acceptance and then changing it and shifting it and guiding it from that place, versus it's a problem or it's broken or it needs healing. If you want to solve it, you create problems. If you want to fix things, you create brokenness. If you want to heal something, you create the wounds to heal. So one way around that is just to come from that place of like, it divinely is perfect. It just, you're just evolving it even more.
Beautiful. Beautiful. I always offer, say, well, if there's a word of wisdom or one more nugget you want to share, you know, just honoring our time, I often ask that question. And I think what you just shared was pretty profound. And I actually, you know, I've been talking about this program, yeah. the unprogram Journey of Increase, which is really about the same concepts. And it's not even concepts, it's a practice. And I think you can even just listen to this conversation and how, let me ask you, just for clarification, when you say context, right? Yeah. It's like, that's a little nebulous if you're not clear yet, right? So it's like, you got the words, and it's not just changing your words, but it's also really reframe, right? It's a kind of a reframe. And is that what you mean by context?
Essentially the context would be like how things work, right? Like what are the rules of the game, right? And, you know, maybe one way to left brain it and bring it more structure is pick different areas of your life, social, mm-hmm. relationship, professional, spiritual, all the different ways you could segment and box life. And then just, you know, ask yourself, like, how do relationships work, right? How does my social, how does my professional, like, how does it work? And kind of define what that game is, and what are the game rules of that section, and then question those game rules. Mm-hmm. Because those are the game, you know, was probably given to you. You didn't choose it typically. And so the awareness is, oh my God, I get to choose the games that are rule, instead of just taking it, you know, blindly and being programmed with the rules.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and that is, it's also challenging your own assumptions about yourself and your life and your beliefs about everything. And we're so focused on, like, right now, challenging our biases and assumptions of things outside of ourselves versus challenging the assumptions within ourselves, which will by default help us, you know, adjust. Right. All right. Cool. So what else? One more thing before I release you into your beautiful day in the chamber world of creating more immortals. Yeah. What's like one more thing that's kind of top of heart right now that you feel like is on order for us?
Yeah. I get what wants to be spoken is that we are in a time where it may appear like there's all these like threats, right? Like we have the AI, you know, threat. We have climate, we have water. We have, again, what seems like all these threats. What comes to me is, and we kind of alluded to it in different ways, is like coming from this place of absolute knowing that we're going to get through this and get not only through it or deal with it or solve it, we're going to get through it in this incredibly beautiful, graceful way that really is divinely orchestrated, right? Like no matter what, I would say to like, you know, my partners at Immortals, like, yes, we're going to impact 1 billion people. But if we all died in a plane crash right now, some other people will come and do this. Like we're actually not that important. And so then that energy makes this game just lighter, right? Instead of feeling like there's a burden, like we must, you know, save the world. I think that having faith in another person and having faith in humanity and having faith in Earth, that trust me, they'll be okay. I think coming from that energy really allows this inner sense of peace, and you can operate from that peace, and you're now emanating peace versus worry and anxiousness and fear and all that stuff. So that's what comes to me.
That's beautiful. That's something that I really welcome and needed to hear right now. So Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah.
I'm so excited to see your next evolution and to experience the chamber. And perhaps we record my coming out and we put it on with the podcast. So everyone gets to really see what's possible here. And thank you for all that you do.
Yeah. Of course. Yeah.
So we'll share links and where people can find you. And I know that you do have a book that is forthcoming, and perhaps when that is ready to come out, or if there's something you want to share right now, but when that comes out, we have you back. Is there anything you want to share about the book?
Culmination of 34 years of study and practice synthesized into this sort of instructions manual on how to use like sacred knowledge and wisdom and practices and alchemy and all the things to navigate modern day world. Where essentially the intention, you know, if I had to use the metaphor, like we're in a video game, tricked into thinking we're the avatar in the game. We don't realize we're actually the magnificent spiritual being that's holding the joystick. We're not the avatar in the game, and that we actually get to go into the motherboard of the game and change the code. We don't have to just play in the game. We can literally program the code, and that's what the book's about.
Wow. Well, that's what my takeaway from our conversation was as well. So thank you. I'm many blessings in the next steps. And I look forward to having that book, and we'll share all the links and you can learn more about Stephen's work in the show notes. So thanks for being here, Stephen.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks for joining us on this episode of Catalyst Talks. Stay tuned for what's up next, and please subscribe to our podcast and rate us wherever you listen. You'll find these all at catalysttalks.com. Join the conversation on social media. And if you'd like to reach out, please send me, Stephanie, a private message through stephanietraeger.com. Your attention means the world to me. Thank you, thank you, thank you.